Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. And if this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, while my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek, takes time away from the show, we're bringing in some wonderful guest hosts who, like Matt, are making a positive difference in the lives of others. Today, my co-guest host is none other than the former co-host of this show, Marvin Smith. Now, besides being one of the truly great men you could ever meet, Marvin played in the NFL and for the Los Angeles Rams and the Oakland Raiders, making him a perfect fit for today's show. So, Marvin, before we bring on our guest, you and our listeners have a little catching up to do. So, share what you've been up to these last few couple of years, I guess.
Hasn't been that long, Alan, a couple of years. It seems like yesterday. Wow, time. So that means you're getting older.
Exactly, and considering we're the same age, you're right there with me.
I disagree. But anyway, what have I been doing? Wow, I am living the American dream, Alan. If I was doing any better, I wouldn't be on Earth. I have this term, I am blessed, even when I'm going through the mess. And I say that to say this. There, over the last few years, my heart is, you know, you've known me for now over 30-some years.
Yep.
I have the, whatever the reasons are, this heart that actually, I don't know if it seeks me or I seek it. When there's, you know, dysfunction in various areas I seem to reach out in. For the last, three or four years, I was rescuing some charter schools that were in trouble in the urban inner city. And since then, I have kind of moved forward and involved with some politics at this point, looking at racial reconciliation and on a national level. And so I was supposed to say, I'm living a dream. I'm still waiting for my 40 acres and a mule, but hey, I'm not going to cry over spilt milk, and I'm just going to live it to where I'm at today. So a lot's happened. I just want to say one thing. I want to give a shout out to my guys, to my young men as part of our ministry, which is Fired Up. And to all of you that are fired up out there, I don't know about you, but I'm fired up.
Well, in fact, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you a little bit about Fired Up. But what I think would be even better is I just need to set up a time, and we need to get you back in here where you're the guest, where we can sit down for an hour and really let people know what you're up to.
I would love that. I mean, I think that would be great. And I have one request. Can I bring an individual or two with me?
Absolutely.
In the process?
Well, is Carla one of them?
Because almost definitely.
Okay, well, then I'm in.
Thank you.
So, in the meantime, how can people get a hold of you if they want to get involved in some way and show their support?
They can email me at braingextreme, and that's B-R-A-I-N, X-T-R-E-M-E, at gmail.com. Once again, that's braingextreme. And that's X-T-R-E-M-E at gmail.com. Or they can reach out. Phone number is area code 909-910-1529.
All right. That's great. So for everybody out there, if you want to get a hold of Marvin, if you're driving and you couldn't write that down, we'll make sure we put everything on the website. You can go to answersforthefamily.com. It will all be there. So let's get to our topic. Our topic today is concussions, and it's an athlete's perspective. And we're going to go into natural ways that you can protect yourself and your children. So our guest today is Dr. John DeWitt. And to tell a little bit about him, I learned he was a late bloomer. He didn't even start his high school football team until his senior year. Later, he walked on to the team at Vanderbilt University and ended up earning a scholarship after only the first semester. He was awarded second team All-SEC honors, as well as defensive MVP at Vanderbilt, and went on to play for the Houston Oilers of the NFL. The Oilers then sent him to Europe, where he won the World Bowl in 1996. The next decade found John playing in a variety of football leagues, from the CFL in Montreal to the XFL in San Francisco. Now, after football, John went on to do a year in pharmacy school before deciding to take a more holistic approach. He attended Southern California University of Health Sciences and got his Doctor of Chiropractic degree. He became an advanced sports nutrition specialist and is certified in concussion assessment. Unfortunately, his father currently suffers with early onset dementia, which has driven him to study more in depth about brain health, concussions, and natural ways to protect the brain, which includes being the author of Head Games, Concussions and CTE, Where Do We Go From Here? Now, personally, John suffered at least four concussions that he knows of during his own football career. His mission is simple: to share what he has learned, both from a personal and professional perspective, to help those that have suffered from concussions and keep the discussion open as to what can be done to minimize the damage in the future. John, welcome back to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I am so glad to have both of you here. I know that Marvin was also instrumental in gaining information in regards to concussion. So I feel that you, as the listeners out there, are in a great opportunity to learn a lot of the inside information about what has been gathered in regards to concussions and maybe what people already knew that is just now coming out.
Yes. And Alan, one thing, this is my first time having the opportunity to meet our guest, John, Dr. John DeWitt. And John, if you're a late bloomer, then that's what I need to be too, then. That's what a late bloomer looks like. I think I bloomed too early. Matter of fact, I should have waited maybe 30 years later to bloom.
But then you wouldn't have been playing.
Well, I'd be playing now, though.
Oh, that's true.
And
that
the contracts
true.
Are a lot different.
That's very true.
I think I might be a lot smarter, too.
That's true.
I'll go anyway.
So, well, I think we touched on it a little bit, but John, let's just start with going into what really drove you to write the book.
It was the book and the movie, actually. Concussion came out, Dr. Malu, and Will Smith was in that book, or in that movie. Great, great movie. And I didn't actually watch it until 2016 because my wife saw it before I did. And she's like, I don't know if you really want to watch that movie. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay. And didn't really think anything about it. Then watched it and realized the severity of what's going on. And it was kind of like a warning sign on the street. You're driving along that there's danger ahead. And I didn't have a whole lot of symptoms at the time. And then all of a sudden, around that same time, my dad was, you know, diagnosed with early onset dementia. And I just said, okay, well, he's got that. His dad passed away from that. Neither one of them played professional football for 12 years. So I realized that I personally was at risk and wanted to do everything I could to make sure that my dad was able to, you know, get through the dementia and maybe get some of the function back, some of the memory back, and learn how the brain actually stores memories and different holistic ways, you know, since I am a chiropractor, ways to do different adjustments to help with the brain and the nutritional aspects of it as well.
Now, for our listeners, share a little bit about what a concussion is, because I think most males played some form of sport at some point in time when they were young, and we used to say, wow, that really rang my bell, yeah. You know, and we would throw out comments like this, but nobody really thought at that time, you know, did I get a concussion, or what should I be looking for if it's the difference from maybe just gotten shook up a little bit versus actually done some damage.
Right, and that's one of the biggest things, is there is such a generic kind of, or there used to be such a generic idea of what a concussion was, because they used to think if you didn't have a or didn't get knocked out, if there was no loss of consciousness, then you didn't have a concussion. And so I have learned that that's only about 5 to 9% of concussions actually lose consciousness. And that was a big eye opener for me. And I also used to always think, okay, if you get a concussion, it's like a bruised brain. You have like a subdural hematoma, which is just like a bruise underneath the dura of the brain itself. And that's something you have to worry about, and you don't want to take a nap or let your kids sleep if they've had some sort of head impact, and because that can affect their, you know, they might not wake up, and you check their pupils to make sure one's not dilated and the other one's not. And I realized going a lot deeper into this that that's just one and usually the worst case scenario. What actually happens is a neurometabolic cascade of events, that's a big word for it. A lot of stuff happens at a microscopic level in the brain itself that I was shocked about. There's actually, and not to try to, I don't want to get too technical, but you have action potential, you have the nerve cell, and an action potential is a level of excitability or electricity that propagates one impulse from one nerve cell to the next. And so what happens with a concussion is there's a massive depolarization. So there's all kinds of electricity going around in the brain. It doesn't know how to deal with that. And so you've got these tiny little pumps in the nerve cell itself called the sodium potassium pump. And there's also a calcium potassium pump. And what happens is that the sodium potassium tries to get that polarization, kind of calm it down a little bit. It starts pumping out more potassium outside of the cell. But then the calcium potassium pumps pumping calcium into the cell. And so all of this takes ATP back in the day when you go through the Krebs cycle and you have the adenosine triphosphate and it goes up there and it takes one of the phosphate groups off. And anyway, that's how we get energy. But what happens is it starts a hyperglycolysis, which is it really tries to accelerate to balance everything out, and then it runs out of energy. So then you go from an anaerobic or from aerobic respiration into anaerobic, and that starts building up lactic acid. And that's why guys that ever have worked out in the gym, you get really sore because you're doing that anaerobic respiration. So that gets you sore. Then you get the calcium built up in the mitochondria, and those are the power plants of the mm-hmm. cell, the little organelles in there. And so then that prevents it from actually being able to deal with the problem, because the calcium is all filled up into the mitochondria and it can't actually allow the electricity to form, get that energy. The calcium also tangles up with the little microtubules of the nerve cell itself, so those can get tangled up and break. Plus the physical stretching of those nerve cells can break those connections as well. And then it even goes as far as activating enzymes that can cause cell death, which is called apoptosis. So there's so much trauma that happens that I didn't even realize that I was just like, okay, there has to be a way to minimize these effects. Other than, I know the NFL is trying to come out with new helmet technology to kind of deal with the sloshing around of the brain in the skull, because it's actually, the brain itself is about 60% fat and 75% water. So it's real squishy in there. And it's suspended in cerebral spinal fluid. And so it kind of acts like kind of like a water balloon kind of floating around mm-hmm. in there. And if you stop quickly, even if you don't get hit in the head, if you get hit like just in the body, but you have like a whiplash effect, that's still going to be the brain sloshing around in the skull, and that's going to cause a lot of issues. So it's not just head trauma. It's a variety of different traumas. Okay.
So, Dr. DeWitt.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I want to synthesize what you just said.
I wish you would.
Okay. So what you're saying is that in all of that, a concussion, the brain, the body, is just basically trying to naturally balance itself out.
Homeostasis, yep.
Yep, and not having the ability otherwise, other things start to create, and it's out of balance, and then it's just a cascading of issues and problems, and if we continue to keep having concussions,
it makes you more susceptible.
Yeah,
more susceptible to more concussions and more serious injury. If you have a concussion, the return to play, they used to tell you to rub some dirt on it and get back in the game once you feel better. And
no, it was you remember this. Johnny, are you injured or are you hurt?
Oh.
Remember that one? Oh. You're like, you're trying to.
All of them, you're like, I think I'm all right. I can stand up.
I think, yeah. Okay, get back out there.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay. To this day, it's interesting.
Well that's because back when you're young, you think you're indestructible. And
yes.
it's not till 2-3 decades later, you're like, oh, that's not so good. But yeah, and it's ironic because a lot of the things that happen with the ion flow and the potassium, the calcium, all that, they've related that to specific symptoms that happen, like different migraine headaches.
Yes.
You get more chronic injuries. Slows down your cognitive abilities because it doesn't have the building blocks to be able to process like it's supposed to.
Right. And the other thing that's really interesting that, and I could tell you're really passionate about this, and it reminds me of recently with the shootings that happened in Las Vegas. You know, as and this from a behavioral standpoint, as people, as human beings, things that are very tragic could happen around us, and I guess it's the way God protects us from life traumas. and it really doesn't affect us. But as soon as somebody we know or a loved one is affected, all of a sudden it just puts it in a whole different light. And now we personalize it, and I look at that part of empathy that comes out in us, because some people are, I think about soldiers that went to war, mm-hmm. and they deal with some of the same traumatic issues, and they come back to the States, and people are like, we don't get it, because they haven't been living in that war zone. So, and it takes individuals like yourself that are really passionate that's how we make change. That's how, we have advocates that are able to advocate on behalf of the issues.
Right.
So I commend you.
And that's the thing with the soldiers too, is that you're in such a chronically stressed state, because we always deal with, you have the automatic nervous system, the autonomic nervous system. So you've got the sympathetic, which is the fight or flight all the time,
yes.
And then the parasympathetic, which is the rebuild and regenerate side. You want to have them balanced, but when you're shifted that far over, because you're constantly no sleep, you're not getting any sleep, you're super stressed out, you've got high blood pressure and all that, just as a way to adapt to that stressful environment. And then they get back to the States and they're like, they can't get out of that. They don't know how to get back into a more balanced state. And I think that it helps a lot talking to other athletes actually as well. They've shown that if they pair up soldiers with other professional athletes, because they have similarities in the different battle ideas, that they're actually able to calm each other down. That's a big thing that the Gridiron Greats Assistant Fund has done to help with that. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, and I know, so with concussions, it's a lot more than just football, as we know. And we have a question that's coming in from a listener. And again, I want to thank the listeners that take the time to do this. This one reads, I have two dear friends who have suffered brain trauma from auto accidents over the last 3 years. Each has suffered increased headaches or migraines on occasion. But the one similarity that they both share that affects their work and their relationships is the inability to focus. There is an apparent disorientation that prevents them from completing tasks and generally to be able to hold a normal conversation for more than a few minutes without having their attention wander. I wish there was a solution that I could suggest them, but I don't know one, which is why I look forward to the interview and learning more about your book. What suggestions would you have that I can present to them? And this is from Paula in Beverly Hills.
Well, Paula, it's really interesting because each of our brains is almost like a fingerprint. It's a little bit different. And it's kind of ironic that both of your friends have similar symptoms. And in cases like that where you're not able to focus, that's because the neurotransmissions aren't really happening the way they're supposed to. So you need to get things into their diet that are able to help increase those transmission, the conductivity, if you were. A lot of times you're going to be talking omega-3 fatty acids. That really helps a lot because the brain is so much fat.
So much fat,
yeah.
Right.
And also coconut oil is something that's really, really good. It's a saturated fat. It's medium chain triglycerides that actually can cross the blood-brain barrier. And that allows for even more connectivity and ability. It's kind of crazy because if you personally take coconut oil and you wait about 3 or 4 hours, it's almost like your peripheral vision kind of opens up because your brain is able to make more connections. And that's one of the biggest things that I think is important, is to make sure that we're getting the connections, getting the circulation to the brain that you need. And so that's where like nootropic herbs like ginkgo biloba, huperzine A, things like that actually help boost circulation to the brain, because after a concussion, it can be decreased up to 50% for like a week.
Now, are these things that are also helping the mitochondria? Is that one of the things that you
get the energy? Yeah,
that you're re-energizing the mitochondria.
Yep,
that's great.
I just had an aha moment.
Yeah.
So
uh-oh.
All those almond joys that I eat,
they
give
go.
Me a lot of joy, right? Because it's the coconut.
That's right.
I knew it.
There you go.
I knew it was
it's,
something.
It's coconut.
Hey, you know what? Whatever reason you want to rationalize to eat more candy, you go right ahead.
All that sugar is not good for you.
Yeah, but it is true that the fats are good and hydration, because today in America, we don't drink near enough water, and you're supposed to drink at least half your body weight in ounces every day. So I'm drinking over a gallon a day. So it's not fun, and it takes a while. You're going to the bathroom a lot for the first few weeks. But eventually, the brain is really smart, and it starts to send it to where you need to have it, and makes it a lot better.
Water.
Yes.
The vital fluids, water.
Yeah, and actually, you're bringing up the coconut oil and such is that, and I do that now, and the one that I use is called Brain Octane.
Yeah. That's the concentrated MCT oil, yeah.
Yeah, and I really have seen a difference, especially in memory.
Yep.
for me, you know, so again, for everybody out there, you know, if you have somebody that you know like this, there are certainly things that you can do. And obviously, and if they want to get in touch with you, what would be the best way they can get in touch with you?
I have a webinar at concussionclass.com. They can go there. It's about an hour long, and there's a little chat option down there, and they can type a question in the chat, and I'll either answer it right away or I'll answer it via email.
Okay. And again, and if for everybody out there, again, if you're driving, we'll have all of this information on the answersforthefamily.com website as well, so that you can get a hold of Dr. DeWitt. So we've talked a little bit about what some of the problems are, but what are some of the changes in how concussions are assessed today? What are some of the changes that are already being done, and what are some that we still need?
And can I add, I want to add to that on the back end. And in that process, if I'm looking at a parent, if I'm a parent, I'm looking at youth, sports, football. I'm looking at helmets, equipment. What is out there to basically to make it safer?
One of the things, there's a company called Protect Your Skull, and it's an extra, it's almost like an extra little cap you can wear underneath your helmet, and it helps a lot with the impact itself. But one of the biggest things with the younger kids is proper technique to make sure they're not like trying to like go head to head all the time. And even with you know, we're talking about football mostly, but girls soccer.
Especially
with the girls, because they don't have the muscular development in the neck and shoulders, so they can't really handle heading the ball. And so they've tried to take that out of a lot of the junior sports as far as soccer goes. Hockey's a big thing, lacrosse, all those different things. It's one of those things, like I said, technique's going to be one of the biggest things. Make sure all their equipment fits correctly. And just if you can give them the building blocks like the omega-3 fatty acids, the DHA, and the EPA, that strengthens the cell membranes inside the brain. So that'll make almost like an extra layer of protection inside the skull itself, which is kind of the main area that we're concerned about.
And I really like what you shared, too, the aspect of, you know, when I was going back to the basics, because I've watched the game over years change. In the early years, it was all about technique. Mm-hmm. It was all about properly how to approach it. And it was more the mental aspect of the game. And somewhere we lost sight. And personally, we start, maybe because of the nature of the game and money that became involved, I start seeing parents live their life through kids.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you have these parents who are now coaching who don't have the basic foundation. And these kids are just being taught wrong.
Right.
You know, which is attributing to a lot of the, I would say, a lot of the head injuries and things that are going on. But that's another layer.
Right. So, I mean, the youth sports specifically, because there are a lot of parents that are coaching, and they need to make sure that they are training themselves on concussion assessment to see what's affected, how to determine if somebody has cognitive impairment or not. And one of the new tests they have, like I said before, they don't do any return to play same day. That's no more.
No more.
You're going to be out at least a week. And with the there's a specific test and a link between the oculomotor nerve in your brain. So it's called the King DeVic test, and they partnered up with the Mayo Clinic, and it's a card that has numbers on it, and you have them do baseline testing before the season when everybody's fine, no symptoms, no nothing. They do that, and then they get a score. You time them to see how fast they can read through the numbers. There are three different cards, and they get a little closer and closer together and kind of jumbled up a little bit. And then if there's any kind of trauma, you can do it right on the field on your iPad.
Right.
Have the kid come on the sidelines. You have them do the test really quick, and if it's any slower at all, they have cognitive impairment and they're out. I don't care if they say they feel fine, they're done. And sometimes it's really scary. The responses are, they start saying words, they start saying days a week, and I'm like, you're looking at numbers. Yeah, you're definitely out. It's like, I mean, it's sad, but I had a friend of mine, Craig Veazey in Houston, when I was there. He got his bell rung, so to speak, and the trainer came over and held up two fingers and asked him what day it was, and he said, or how many fingers, and he said Tuesday. And I was like, no, those are fingers, not days of the week.
No, he Tuesday. Two fingers today.
There you go.
No, yeah, and I know that, and I played a little bit in high school, and I can remember, you know, a quote being told, I got my bell rung, you know, and they do the thing of, you know, how many fingers do I have, you know, held up, and, you know, I said like three or whatever, and they said, close enough, get in there.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the thing, you know, just the sheer fact that you could answer was enough that you can go right back out there and take another hit.
Right, and that's a scary thing, too, is a lot of times the symptoms don't show up right away, and so you say, okay, well, let's just be safe. Let's put them on the sidelines and see how they're doing, and they're fine, and then 10, 15 minutes later, suddenly they don't know where they are. They start throwing up or something. Right. It's like, whoa, yeah, you can't – you got to be extra careful because it doesn't matter, and that's the trickiest part, too, is that – even if it's your star player, I have a story I go into in the book. We had a star player in high school. We were in the state championship series, not the game yet, but the series of games. And it was a star defensive lineman. He was about 6'5", 350 pounds, which was humongous in high school. Yeah. And he had taken some cold medicine before the game. And our defensive line coach was sitting there on the sidelines talking to him. And he was yelling and screaming. Then he went and sat down, and we realized he wasn't going to be playing in the game, even though he was the star player. And next thing you know, his dad, who was even bigger, came running down out of the stands, jumped over this chain link fence, and just did a belly roll. It was scary to see. And he's standing in front of the defensive line coach, yelling his head off. I thought he was going to have a heart attack. And the D-line coach just looked up at him, and he said, "I'm not going to risk the health of your child." He told me he doesn't feel right. He took some medication or something, so he's not going to play, and I don't care what you do. You need to calm down and go sit down.
Good.
And that's hard because everybody wants to win nowadays. And as a coach, you got to know the kids come first.
Well, I really believe that is the issue. It's winning over health.
Yep.
And we start to put, those human needs, those basic needs aside, and people are becoming, they get damaged. Mm-hmm. And some of this damage is to a point where you cannot fix it.
No, and sometimes it just gets worse once it gets going bad. Yeah, and that's the thing, too, with the kids that are the all-stars, they need to realize just because you think you can play, you know inside that you're not 100%, and you're not necessarily helping the team. You could actually be hurting the team if you're in there not at 100%. So they need to realize that it's not just the team. They need to be responsible for how they're feeling as well.
Yeah, and I look at another side of it, too, that when your adrenaline's pumping and you're going, you want to be there for your team. You don't want to let your team down. I mean, so I believe that's where coaches and you got to have those third parties involved who are neutral to be able to make these decisions, because it's when the emotions are high, you know, it's like, can you?
Yeah.
And I saw coaches like you saw a guy.
Yeah. No, and I was going to touch on what you said earlier, Marvin, that had to do with the parents that are now so involved in living through their children. Well, I think the issue with that is that they're seeing these big contracts in the paper also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
They're thinking, this is our way out.
This is our retirement plan.
Yeah.
Right.
our retirement.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to them, they're looking at the coach that is trying to make a decision for the health of the child. And they're like, well, wait a minute. You're messing with my retirement plan. You're messing with our future. And they're just all caught up in it. But I think part of it, and I'm not saying that this makes them bad parents, I think they just don't know.
Right.
They don't know what the potential damage is, which is why when you were mentioning in regards to coaches, I mean, it sounds like there should be a very diligent training program.
Oh, absolutely.
For all of the coaches. And even if it's just a parent that says, hey, I want to coach my kid's team, okay, go finish this training program so that you know everything that you need to know, mm-hmm. so that you're looking out for all of the right things.
And that was one of my things, too, is I really want to get all the schools have a baseline testing for cognitive dysfunction, for concussions. For everybody, it'll start with the athletes, but I mean, everybody should have it. Every student should have it. So that way, if there's ever any incident in school, there's a fight or something, you should be able to test that kid to make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, it's just interesting because I could be listening to the show and I'm great information, but remember, as I said earlier, if it's not apparent to me, if it's not affecting me personally,
right,
it's good. But then I would say, John, how do we look at this from the standpoint of, I'm a parent who, my kids are not playing sports, but just brain health.
Yeah, brain health.
Let's just talk about brain health. How can we, I think that's, but it's like just full development. Maybe we could talk a little bit
about
that.
Absolutely, because that's going to go along with, ironically, through this whole process, I've come up with a formulation of different nootropic herbs that increase circulation to the brain, that help increase the communication between the neurons, that have actually shown to reduce symptoms of Alzheimer's and even depression as well. And so it's all about getting the proper fats, the proper nutrients, and that is going to optimize that that brain, it's like fertilizer for a crop. And if you have a young child and you're trying to make sure their brain is as healthy as possible, regardless if they play sports or not,
right.
It's vital to make sure they're getting all the right nutrients so that they're going to maybe get an academic scholarship or maybe right. just good enough to pass their classes and maybe because they've been struggling. They need that extra little boost to help the brain function better.
Now you mentioned in that depression.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another subject now that we have many parents that are dealing with that in regards to their own at-risk youth. And many have told the story of, I don't know what happened to my child. I had this 13-year-old that was wonderful and playing and everything was great. And then all of a sudden I had this 14-year-old that was depressed and moody. And they're being told, well, they're just becoming teenagers. Don't worry about it. It's just a phase. They're just going through it. Well, now it sounds like there's a chance that they may be lacking in certain areas in their brain, and just giving them that may make their brain healthy and may affect their mood swings.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is kids nowadays, they're running off to Starbucks and drinking the Rockstar and all the energy drinks and stuff, and that's going to cause adrenal fatigue, where the adrenal glands, they basically shut down. It's where you get your energy, your adrenaline. They basically shut down because they're just like, well, we've got all this extra energy in the system already, so we'll just shut down. And that just affects all different kinds of hormonal levels, and they don't know what's going on. And so they have to keep drinking it, and then they're not thinking straight, and they can't focus. And it's just going to affect their schoolwork and social circles, everything.
Wow.
The brain.
Yes.
You know, one thing I did learn while I was playing football in Dr. DeWitt would attest to this, is they would always tell you, whichever way the head goes, the body will follow.
Yep.
So I just believe it's very important that we have to protect the part of our body that leads the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our head, that's our brain. And I'm a strong proponent of brain health, you know, and whether you're an athlete or non-athlete, because this is a thing, like you're talking about your dad. At some point in life, you know, we start looking at issues that affect us, and over time we become depleted by sometime our lifestyle and not even realize, in the foods that we eat today. I mean, there's a lot of things that when we're growing up, when you lived out, you know you go out and run and play, it's different, you know.
It's now, all on a computer now.
Yeah, and it's organic. Well, you know, my daughter, like, we were sharing something, and I'm like, my wife and I, we couldn't figure it out. I'm like, what? And my daughter leaves the room, she comes back, she says, just hold on a minute. She comes back and she has the answer. I'm like, wow.
She Googled it.
Exactly.
My daughter's smart.
I said, where'd you find you figure that out? She said, I Googled it. I'm like, so, I mean, you're right. So there's a lot of other things that, as I was growing up, that was not there. It was just, you go out and play, just healthy lifestyle. But it's different. So, you know, how do parents, you know, I'm always looking at, what do they do now to get their kids off the couch, get them active and healthy? And eating proper foods and not drinking those
energy
drinks.
Yes. I'm telling you.
All right. So for everybody out there, don't take a sip of your energy drink right now, but do.
there's some healthy options.
Yeah. But do stay with us. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
We're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and our topic today is concussions, an athlete's perspective. We're going to be talking about natural ways to protect yourself and your children.
Dr. John DeWitt, as I'm looking at your book, Head Games, Concussions, and CTE. We hear a lot about that CTE, but I don't know if people really understand. What is CTE? What is that? Maybe for our listeners who they keep hearing the acronym, but not understanding what it is. Maybe you could get some light on that.
Okay, the C stands for chronic, which means it's pretty much there and it's just always going to be there. Traumatic means obviously caused by trauma, and encephalopathy, all that means is a problem with the brain. So that, I mean, it's pretty generic, but what happens with CTE, and the reason that that came up is because Dr. Amalu discovered something at a microscopic level when he did the autopsies on the players that had the weird behavioral issues and things like that, that he found when he expected when he opened it up it was going to look like an Alzheimer's brain, which has got a bunch of holes and degeneration and things like that. He didn't see that. When he looked at it grossly, it looked fine, but it's when he got into the, like a microscopic level, he found a bunch of tangled up proteins that were kind of like glue inside the brain that were affecting the communication, and that he called them tau proteins. And so the tau proteins, they, once they start breaking down the brain, they tend to spread, and it causes more cell death, more apoptosis. And so that's one of the reasons that I wanted to get into the nootropic herbs and things like that to boost up the circulation in the brain, because if you can't get circulation and blood to that area, then it's not going to be able to heal.
Right. Well, then on a CTE, I mean, when we you can maybe give some insight, because it was through Dr. Amala, it was thought, or only way we could figure out that there was CTE was it had was someone that had already passed away.
Right. And they have new tests. They've recently come out with new imaging that actually has been able to detect CTE in players before they...
Prior to death.
Yeah, prior to death, which is always a good way if you want to do something about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So is there... Now, here's another thing. Okay, CTE. If we see that there's damage that is happening to the brain, is there anything to reverse the effects? That's one thing I know. The brain is the neuroplasticity, and how it's amazing how, I'm going to use the term, how God made us, to far as healing effects. So maybe you could, and as you talked about the nootropic
herbs, and basically all that is, those are just herbs that help boost circulation and help improve brain function.
So what kind of herbs are those?
It's like ginkgo biloba, you know, we've heard those back in the day, vinpocetine, bacopa monnieri. These are all different flowers, or even some of them are molds that actually have been shown. They are back from Eastern medicine off in India, the Ayurvedic type things that they've used that have shown that it really helps improve function.
Okay, because I just want to kind of get some clarity there, because you start saying herbs, and some of these millennials like, oh, marijuana,
a little
herb will help.
Yeah.
Let's get
special
to the
special kind.
Yes.
And it's just it's crazy the different things. If you do have CTE, basically you have to. And here's how I like to look at it in the office. It's just like, if you're worried that you might have a condition, whether it be cancer, whether it be CTE, don't worry that you might have it. Just assume that you do and live a life that would keep that from growing or spreading. So eat all the right foods you should have. Do your vegetable juicing for the soluble fibers, because that also helps clean out the circulatory system. Do your regular juicing or blending as well, because that's for the non-soluble to help clean out the digestive tract.
Yes.
And there are specific vegetables like apples, fruits, I know, are apples. Apples are fruits. But that helps. They have malic acid in them that helps clean out the circulation and break down the plaque in the circulation as well, in the arteries.
Right.
And cayenne pepper is really important because it raises the nitric oxide levels in the blood, and that increases the elasticity. So everything you can do, this, the nootropic herbs, there's even phosphatidylserine is a phospholipid. I know it's another fancy word, but it's just a fat molecule with the phosphorus on it for organic chemists out there. And what that is if you remember back to biology, the cell membrane itself is a phospholipid bilayer. So there's a phosphorus. So they have hydrophilic and hydrophobic, which just means that it's water loving or water hating.
Right.
And that way it helped get things through the cell. But phosphatidylserine is an actual phospholipid that the FDA has approved the statement. They haven't, like, because it's not something you can patent. They haven't approved it itself as a treatment, but they have approved the statement that phosphatidylserine actually reduces the symptoms of Alzheimer's and other cognitive dysfunction. So doing that and using that is going to help optimize your chances of reversing any CTE type symptoms.
Now, and where do people get that naturally? Where are the different places that they can get that?
The phosphatidylserine, that is a good question, because all I know is the my supplement has it in there. So okay. not naturally, but that's a place you can get it.
Okay.
So, okay, well, we've got another listener question that's coming in. And this one reads, I was shocked to read in a recent article that almost 30% of the 5 million youth football players between the ages of 5 and 14 are injured each year. Nearly 200,000 of these injuries require emergency medical care. It appears there is no proper solution to protect young athletes from serious injury, especially heart trauma, due to the brutal force they are subjected on the playing field. And we are not even addressing the high school and college age group numbers, where these numbers are bigger and far more aggressive. It says, these are our amazing youth that we're talking about, with bright futures ahead of them. I just do not understand how health officials and parents can allow their children to be involved in such a dangerous sport. Does the prestige of this sport outweigh common sense and the health and well-being of our children? And this is from Peter in New Mexico.
I'm going to lead into that,
please,
and turn over to you, Dr. Witt.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis.
Well, Logan decided to pop in again, but
he's pushy like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And what I'm thinking is, this caller is bringing to our attention, the numbers are astronomical. And we talked a little bit before the air, but, you know, part of the problem, I don't think, is parents that just want to be parents that are not loving, not caring. But the game itself, when you start talking about socioeconomics, it's really starting to dictate, because there's a, when you're talking about low socioeconomics, you're talking about individuals who are impoverished, who actually see sports, football, as a way out of their conditions.
And some of them see it as the only way, the only legal way.
Right.
And that's a really sad testament, and I think that it's going to be something that it'd be amazing if the NFL would come out with something, because they're watching them and they're doing everything they say and wearing whatever shoe that they're recommended and all that stuff. If they could come out with a program that said it's not just about football, and like give other programs to help them learn how to be better at math or a physicist or, you know, whatever, it's showing them that there's other options and making that kind of at the forefront, even though, you know, obviously there's going to be a select percentage, a very small percentage, that'll go on and play professional football. But having them out there and seeing their sports idols out there talking about how, hey, you know, you don't have to play, it's not for everybody. And I, you know, if I could have, you know, been a physicist or a scientist or something instead, you know, maybe that would have been better. But, you know, this is the path I chose, and you have options.
Well, that is so true. When you have options, you can exercise those options. But when there are no options that you think,
right,
then you proceed to go down a pathway that may not be, as you see in your heart, the only option.
Right, and that's why
that's legal, right?
Right, yeah, I was hoping that that was kind of what I was talking about with the NFL, them showing them that there are other options.
Right, right.
So,
and I think looking at the numbers, I guess in a room with educated individuals, when you look at the numbers, I mean, literally, a kid has a better opportunity that can be attainable, really becoming a rocket scientist. Doesn't make a difference what neighborhood. They can become a rocket scientist and make six figures for a duration of years till they retire,
yep,
for NASA or whomever. That's more realistic and obtainable than playing in a professional sport.
And then
isn't that crazy?
That is crazy, and it actually comes, that's when you come into, it's all about whatever peer group you're with, because if you're in a peer group that, you know, going to the library or doing research to help yourself do something like that, it's going to make it to where you're going to feel kind of silly doing that. Then, I mean, you only reach the expectation level of your peer group, so you might want to change your friends.
Yes. And then I start looking too, when I look at the reality of some of the work that I'm involved with, when you start going to the urban inner cities and it's not cool,
yeah,
to be smart. And then you're relegated by gangs. And I mean, there's all these competing factions that's environmental. And if you don't have the solid home front, I mean, so there's these other social issues that that become part of it. So, you know, there's this old African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it takes all of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we all need to take that responsibility and not look at it's an individual. I mean, because society has changed over time.
Well, we've only got a few more minutes. This has gone by so quickly. Obviously, both of you are welcome anytime here. Just let me know, and we'd love to have you here in the studio again. Now, I have a question for both of you, and actually, let's start with Dr. DeWitt. If you were the NFL commissioner for a day and could make one change in the league that would stand, what one change would you make?
I would organize the players and coaches and owners and get them all on the same page, because I feel like it's so much, it's kind of a have and the have nots kind of a thing. I mean, because when you've got Roger Goodell making $42 million and then he's complaining because he wants lifelong health care, but then all these different players that are injured, they don't have lifetime health care. Okay. So there's just a big separation, big divide. And I think they need to get together and realize that the way that some of the players have been acting lately, like with Gronkowski and that late hit, and some of the other hits that were between the whistle that seemed fine, they need to figure out, okay, which ones are going to be penalized, which ones aren't, who's going to be taken out, who's not. But more importantly, we all represent the same brand, so to speak. So we need to be a little more aware of how you're acting and the things that you're doing during games, because there are kids that are watching what you're doing and they're going to start to do the same things. And so yeah. I think it's just important to realize that the NFL is not indestructible, and they need to make sure that the players are on board and they don't feel that big separation between the ownership and the players themselves.
Well, I absolutely love your answer, because not only is it something that should be done in the NFL, that's something that would fit in any walk of life. We need it from a political standpoint. We need it in our schools. We need it everywhere, which is everybody to get on the same page and focus on what is best for all of us. So with that, Marvin, same question. If you're now the NFL commissioner for a day and you can make one change in the league that will stay.
My contract would be guaranteed for life. As a commissioner, I would have a job until I die. The rest of everybody else, I don't care. let me be serious now. Let me be serious.
I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Adam's looking at me like, wait a minute. What?
I want a percentage of everyone's salary.
The beauty of that was as I'm looking at John and I'm looking at Marvin, and John and I are looking at each other going, where is he going with this?
Hey,
he had us.
We have to laugh at some of this stuff, because it's so, I mean, if we don't laugh, it will... The humor, you know, it would kill us, right? But the reality of it is, if I was a commissioner, if I can make I like what John was sharing, but I would look at, you know, parity. What do we need to do to become one? Because we have a platform to the world. And there's a lot of young eyes that are watching us collectively, and it shouldn't be a situation where it's the billionaires against the millionaires. Hey, I'm not even in that category. I don't even care. My vote doesn't count. Versus we're all in this together. So I would look at how can we make the game the all-American game for everyone.
I love it. So with that, again, that's one more thing that everybody can look at and say that this is something that fits across the board, not just football, not just sports, but across the board. Both of you, thank you. Appreciate it. And again, looking forward to having you back in here soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. Now, for everybody out there, please be sure to put on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we're joined by Catherine McWillie to discuss custody calculations, the divorce process, and its impact on your life. Now, we also want you to please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. You can also subscribe to our show on iTunes. That way, it'll be sent to you automatically. So for those of you working in the middle of the day, you don't have a chance to listen to the show live. iTunes will take it. They'll send it right to your computer or your phone. It'll be waiting for you when you have time to listen. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people and be greatly appreciated. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us and spread the word. So for everybody out there, be good human beings. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.
I thought you had a recording device. That's pretty interesting. I'm like, I'm...
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.